The church on earth and the church in heaven are to be one. The separation occurs when we drift from that which binds us as one. Error separates us from heaven. Truth binds us to heaven. And so in Christ, through Christ, the earthly family, the heavenly family become one. I thank God that the church in heaven and the church on earth are one.
Let's pray. Dear God, in Numbers 23, verse 5, the Bible says, "And God put a word in Balaam's mouth." And Father, your word has nothing good to say about Balaam. Put a word in my mouth, because I have come to lift up the truth. Because by lifting up the truth, I lift up Jesus. And whenever Jesus is lifted up, dear God, your name is glorified. And so I pray you'd remove from me anything that is unlike you and grant me simple, direct, compassionate utterance, dear God. Let the truth find a welcome in every mind, every breast. Bless us not only in this building, Father, but wherever your precious children are listening to you via the internet. Bless them, bless their lives, bless their families. And let this message, if it is the truth, permanently lodge in our hearts and minds. I offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. Our subject, what God hath joined together. Let's go to Matthew 16. We shall read from verse 13. Matthew 16, reading from verse 13, and I hope you have your Bibles with you. This is a Bible. What is this? Yes, it is. All right. So pick up your Bibles or read along with someone. The Bible says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?'" It's all right if the world has an opinion of Christ, but Christ wants your individual response to him. "Whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now focus on 19. "And I will give unto thee the keys of" what? "The kingdom of heaven." Finish the verse with me. "And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Let's review from verse 16. When Jesus said in verse 15, "But whom say ye that I am?" Peter, always being the first to speak, and presumably speaking for the other 11, he said, "Thou art the" what? "The Christ." Keep reading. "The Son of the living God." Now, what is meant by the Christ? Christos, as the Greek word puts it, it means the anointed one. Someone anointed for a task and given the power to carry out that task. Simon Peter recognized that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Christ. This was the one the Israelites, the Jews, had been anticipating for hundreds of years to deliver them. Not from necessarily from Babylonian captivity or Medo-Persian captivity or Macedonian captivity or Roman captivity. That's not what the major problem was. The Messiah came to deliver from sin. And so for years and years, the Jews anticipated the return or the coming of this Messiah. The tragedy was, when he came, virtually no one recognized him as the Messiah. And so what Peter is saying is the minority report. Are you with me? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, he is the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, he calls him as well the Son of the living God. What did Peter mean by that? Oh, no, not what did Peter mean. Peter probably did not understand what he himself was saying. And that can happen. The Bible says the Old Testament prophets, they did not understand what they were writing. Because they were not writing for themselves. They were writing for generations to come. So it's possible to speak a word of truth and not realize what you just said. Now, he calls him the Son of the living God. What did that mean? Let's go to John 5. Let's read verse 17. Our subject, what God hath joined together. John 5, reading verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore, the Jews did what? Sought the more to kill him, for he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also God was his Father. Finish verse 18. Making himself equal with God. And so the expression Son of God referred to someone in the Jewish mind equal with God. So when Peter said, the Son of the living God, whether he understood it or not, Peter was saying the Messiah to come will be equal with God the Father himself. Which is a very powerful truth. Because only God can deliver me from sin. With all respects to the angel Gabriel, who is the highest created being in heaven, only God can deliver me from sin. And with all respect to the Catholic Church, when they promote Mary as an associate savior, they don't know what they're doing. Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, meaning God himself. What was one of the names of Jesus? Emmanuel. What does it mean? God with us. And so Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This wasn't the first time Peter made that confession. Go to John chapter 6. We'll read from verse 66, our subject, what God hath joined together. John 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You see, Jesus said some things the disciples did not like. And we can all identify with that. I am sure at some point in your life, you've heard a sermon that made you squirm in your pew. You felt the preacher was walking on your toes. It has happened to all of us. Those disciples, the Bible says, they went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, because Christ had many more disciples beside the 12. Remember, once he sent out 70. Will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, meaning we're staying because of what you're preaching, not because of the size of your church, not because of the choir or the cars the members drive. We're staying because of what you're saying. When you join the church, join it because it preaches the truth, not because the pews are made of velvet. Now, in the next verse he says, and we believe and are sure, what? That thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And so here again, we have Peter making this profound statement. And so we run back to Matthew 16, verse 16, where Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now listen to Jesus, verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is where? In heaven. Now observe what Jesus said. He contrasts, or he presents, two sources of information. Look at verse 18. Or verse 17. What are the two possible sources of information? flesh and blood, and Father. Listen to Christ. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father. Where do we find flesh and blood? On the earth. Now, flesh and blood is perishable. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, and this I say, that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, flesh and blood in that context, and the context of Matthew 16, 17, does not necessarily mean a sinful nature. It means the perishable, because this corruptible must do what? Put on incorruption, referring to the saved. Are you with me? So flesh and blood can refer to the saved, but they are still in a perishable state because saved people die. Am I right? And so when Jesus says flesh and blood, it does not necessarily mean sinful nature. It means this limited, this restricted, this perishable condition in which we find ourselves. Not even the most educated Pharisee could have told you what you just said. By the way, let me just throw this in. All the PhD degrees you have does not qualify you to discover truth. Truth is something that is revealed, not discovered. That's why, well, let me repeat. Truth is not discovered. It is revealed as a reward for those who diligently search for God. Now, I'm not against those with degrees who study archaeology and biblical languages. God bless them. One of the gifts of the Spirit is wisdom and knowledge. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. But ultimately, whether you stand academically at the summit of the mountain or academically at the bottom, it is revealed. And so Jesus says, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is where? In heaven. And so we have the Father in heaven. His position is, Jesus is the Messiah. Are you with me? What is Peter's position? Jesus is the Messiah. Do they agree, yes or no? Yes. Peter's position about the divinity of Christ is a position bound where? On earth. But it is also a position bound where? In heaven. Now I'm giving you a clue as we come to verse 19. Verse 18. He's going, and I say also unto thee, verse 18, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock. What rock? The word for Peter, Petros, is a stone. Unstable. This rock I will build my church, Petra, is something immovable. The rock on which the church of Christ is built is the teaching that Christ the Messiah is God. That's what the church is built on. This man who died on the cross, who slept in a boat, who consumed dinners with the disciples, who cried, who was tired, sat on the well. He was also God. That's why his name Emmanuel means God with us. And Jesus says, upon this rock, what you just said, that you didn't develop yourself. You got it from where? God, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, verse 19. And I will do what? Give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We have the source, I. Who is I? Who is I? Who is Jesus? God. I. Where did Peter get the declaration that Christ is the Messiah? From God. Jesus said, everything I say came from the Father. And so this is God again through Christ. I will give unto thee what? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The question then arises, what is the key? Let's go to Matthew 23. We're in 16. Matthew 23, our subject, what God hath joined together. almost 12:30. I'm in good time, I think. Matthew, what chapter? Let's read verse 13. Do you have that? What does that say? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, why? For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven, go on, against men. Ye neither do what? Go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Now, how did the Pharisees and the scribes shut up the kingdom of heaven against men? Okay, one person suggests false teaching. All right, let's listen to Luke recording the same speech, but in his own way. Let's go to Luke 11. Let's read verse 52. Luke 11, verse 52, our subject, what God hath joined together. Do you have it? Read with me. Woe unto you, lawyers, because they were all present when Jesus spoke. Matthew just mentioned scribes, Pharisees. Luke throws in the lawyers, because Luke, of course, being a professional man. Woe unto you, lawyers, keep reading, for ye have taken away what? The key of knowledge, which allows people to go where? Into the kingdom of God. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that are entering what? Ye hindered. By not providing what? The key of knowledge. Now, go back to Matthew 16. Listen to Christ in verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will give you, he had been given them knowledge. He would give them until his death and resurrection. He would give them again through the Holy Spirit. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, any decision you make based on that key will be bound in heaven. But your decisions must be based, finish my words, on the key. And what is the key? The key of knowledge. Now, let's examine a few things that are bound in heaven. Let's see if they're bound in earth. You see, they have to be bound in heaven first. The earth sets no standards for heaven. I'm talking to myself. The earth sets no standards for heaven. For something bound on earth to be bound in heaven, it must first have been bound in heaven, given to earth, and earth gives it back. Listen to Exodus 20 from verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. That is bound where? In heaven. When you observe the seventh day Sabbath, where is it bound? On earth. Now, when you observe Sunday, is that bound in heaven? No, because it's not in the Word. So you can shout as much as you like. For this worship to be acceptable to God, it must be based on the Word, in order that what we bind may be bound in heaven. Go with me to Matthew 18. Let's read from verse 15. Our subject, what God hath joined together, and I will make that clear in a moment, hopefully. Do you have Matthew 18 from verse 15? Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If we follow that, there'd be so much fewer hurt feelings. Don't tell this person. Go and tell the person the Bible says alone. Don't put it on Facebook. And Twitter. You know, we live in a culture, everything goes on Twitter. They call it a Twitter rant. The Bible exalts privacy. Go and tell him this fault between thee and him alone. if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Verse 16, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verse 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall what? Loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Now, here Jesus makes the same statement again. Now, go back to verse 15 of Matthew 18 and see the same premise or foundation as we have in chapter 16. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Now verse 16. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more. Why? Go to Deuteronomy 17. Let's read verse 6. Let's see Christ providing a biblical foundation for how to deal with strife in the church. Deuteronomy chapter 17, we read verse 6. When you found it, say amen. Read with me. What does it say? At the mouth of two or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. Now, Jesus takes an Old Testament principle which he gave to Moses. By the way, it was Christ who spoke to Moses in all the Old Testament. Are you with me? Okay, the God of the Old Testament is Christ. Okay, Christ's principle was, if John accuses Jack and neither one has a witness, there's no case. There must be at least two to support your claim. That's why the Bible says, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. And so now Jesus tells Peter, he's giving instructions for how the church should run, because he's leaving these men to run the church. And the biggest problem in the church is not always doctrine, it's interpersonal relationships. And so Jesus says, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Now, he says in verse 17, if he will not hear them, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. In other words, separate that person from the church. Now, Christ says, if you separate the person based on the word I've given you, whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. If it is done correctly. Now, that brings us to a tremendous truth. The church on earth and the church in heaven must function by the same rules. Let me say differently, perhaps a little more dramatically. The church on earth and the church in heaven, let me take Sister Roberta's style, fill in the blanks, are, listen to me again, the church on earth and the church in heaven are one. On Monday, when Maidus and I were coming in, she said, I know you're glad you're living for the Philippines on Monday. I said, yes. There's no snow in the Philippines. Are you with me? I'll be fanning in the Philippines. That's okay. But in the Philippines, I'll be speaking to Adventist congregations. But how many churches are there? One. I told you about a month ago, I was in New Zealand. I spoke to an Adventist congregation. That's that congregation. But how many churches? One. Now, God has a church. One branch meets in heaven. I'm not joking. The other branch meets on the earth. What binds them together? The word. The one on earth must function by the same principles as the one in heaven. So right now, as we worship on God's holy day, there's a heavenly church worshiping with us. I know it's hard to believe. It's hard to tell a deep water fish there's something called dry land. It makes no sense. And we grow up in a world of sin and division and conflict. It makes no sense to us possibly to think that the God desires unity between the church in heaven and the church on earth. Child, the Adventist home, page 544, paragraph 3, the family of heaven and the family of earth are one. But they must proceed based on the same standard. It is only then that what is bound on earth can be bound in heaven. Go to John 20. Let's read verse 17. Our subject, what God hath joined together. John 20, reading verse 17. Jesus has arisen from the grave. The first person he meets is whom? Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. And she grabs him. And Jesus, he saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But do what? Go where? To my brethren. Now that's family. Who was he referring to? The Jews? The scribes and Pharisees? Go to my brethren. Who are they? The disciples. And do what? Tell them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. Go on. To my God and your God. Now Jesus is saying, my Father is your Father. My God is your God. The church on earth and the church in heaven are to be one. The separation occurs when we drift from that which binds us as one. Then the church on earth has no connection with the church in heaven. Because listen to the Lord's Prayer. Say it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. No difference. Question for you. Let's say there's a service in heaven now and Jesus is preaching. Is anyone sleeping? I'm not trying to pick anyone. Is anyone sleeping in heaven? Is anyone texting in the presence of God? Are there children drawing pictures on the tithe envelopes? All right, is everyone listening to that sermon? Yes. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will. What is the will of God? Which must be done on earth as it is in heaven. Go to Romans chapter 2. We'll read from verse 17. Our subject, what God hath joined together. Romans 2, verse 17. Do you have that? Some of you are still looking. It's 20 to 1. When you found it, say amen. Amen. Behold, thou art called a Jew. And doest what? Restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God. Keep reading. And knowest his what? His will. Stop. Paul says, you know God's will. Now, knowing the will and doing it are two different things sometimes. Are you with me? He isn't saying they do it. He's saying they know it. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knoweth his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent. Finish the verse. Being instructed out of the law. Now, what do you understand by approvest the things that are more excellent? The Greek expression means to have the ability to decide what is best, what is genuine from what is counterfeit. To approve the things that are more excellent is to be able to determine which is the fake, which is the real. How do they do that? Being instructed out of the law. How many standards of right and wrong does God have? What is it? His law.
So Paul says, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will. There are people who know the 7 day of the Sabbath, they won't do it. It's not convenient. My best business day is on Saturday. I can't close to go to church. Paul says, you know his will. And approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. God's law is the foundation of his kingdom in heaven and on earth. When we conduct our business based on God's law, we and the heavenly family are one. Listen to what Ellen White writes, Bible Commentary, Volume 1, page 1081, paragraph 2. A very, very beautiful statement. God created the earth to enlarge heaven. Did you hear what I said? God created the earth to enlarge heaven. So that God's original intention was the earth is part of heaven. If you put an extension on this church, is it a separate church? No. Listen again. God created the earth to enlarge heaven. He desired a larger family of creation. He wanted more intelligent beings. By this, we're bound to heaven. You see, when Jacob dreamed in Genesis 28, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up where? On the earth. Not close to the earth, on the earth. That's another evidence of the fallen nature of Christ. It was on the earth. And the top of it reached unto heaven. That is what connects, makes heaven and earth one. Before sin, you didn't need that. You see, before sin, the Eden home and the heavenly home were one. There was no sin. With sin, we needed our connection. That's Christ. And so in Christ, through Christ, the earthly family, the heavenly family become one. But Christ is known as, how does John introduce him? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. Psalm 33 verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. It is by the word, the living word Christ, that we're connected to heaven. Conflict and Courage, page 21, paragraph 5, Ellen White writes, God created man for his glory, that after test and trial, the human family might become one with the heavenly family. God wanted to take them to a higher level of unity, to actually unite. Now this thing cracks your skull. To unite. The same way human and divine are united in Christ mysteriously. It was God's will to do this, and he will do it. Until he does it in the ages to come, we need to live with the consciousness that God wants us to understand the church on earth and the church in heaven are one, on one condition, that the church on earth functions by the key. What is the key? The knowledge. So at the risk of being politically incorrect, every church has faithful people. What did I just say? They just don't know. Listen to Christ. Other sheep I have, which are not of this, I mean, one. You see, Christ had one fold. He said, no, I've got people in other folds. I will leave them there and save them there. What does he say? Them also I must bring. I've got to get you out of those folds. What is the cry for those of God's people in Babylon? What's the cry? Come out of her. God saves no one in Babylon. You've got to come out so that they can be one fold, one shepherd, one key, the truth. Now, to be politically incorrect,
a church that persists in observing Sunday as a Sabbath is not connected to heaven as an organization. But they are individual members whose sincerity of heart appeals to God, and God will find a way to get them out. I just read on the internet, Pope Francis just sent out 1,000 super confessors. You know what a super confessor is? Someone who can confess sins that normally only the Vatican or the highest officials can forgive, I should say. So if you sin against, let's say, Mary or something, only the Vatican can forgive that. Are you with me? But because of the widespread nature of the church, Francis has authorized 1,000 bishops, or whatever they are, to spread out. Some are going to the Arctic, some are going to remote places. Forgive people of the terrible sins that ordinarily only the Vatican could forgive. Now, the Bible says in Mark 2, verse 5 to 7, who can forgive sins but God? Are you following me? A church that practices men forgiving sins is not bound to heaven, because it does not function on the basis of the key. And the key says only God can forgive sins. Our minds are so corrupted by sin, we can't think straight. For many people, if the church isn't noisy, the Holy Spirit is not present. They equate noise with the Spirit. I've heard people say, let me go where the Spirit is. Where's the Spirit? Over there. Why? See how noisy they are. When Joshua and Moses were coming off the mountain, what did Joshua think he heard? The sound of war. What did Moses tell him? Those are the people worshiping a golden calf. But it sounded like war. My beloved friends, 10 to 1. The church on earth and the church in heaven are to be one. For that to function, everything the church on earth does must be done according to the key. What is the key? Knowledge. Another word for knowledge, truth. And who is the truth? Jesus Christ. Ask yourselves, is my church practicing the truth? If it is not, there certainly are individual members upon whom God has his eye, because he notices the sincerity. But the church as a movement is not connected to heaven. As a matter of fact, the greatest enemy of God is a religious organization. Not a political one. A religious organization, according to prophecy, is God's most dangerous enemy. It's called Babylon. More specifically, the man of sin, the leopard-like beast, the little horn, or the Roman church. In Amos chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? What is the basis of agreement? This. Error breaks up what God hath joined together. Let me say it again. Error, false teaching, separates the church on earth from the church in heaven. And the Bible says, what God hath joined together, let no man, whether it's Benny Hinn, Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes, Marilyn Hickey, Joyce Myers, let no man put asunder. Let's go from the church. Don't you want your individual life to be bound in heaven? I was reading a quotation to Brother Paul while I was in the office thinking, where Ella White writes, if you will decide to do nothing to displease God, you will know after presenting your petition to him just what course to follow. I'll send a quotation to somebody, they can publicize it. She says, if you will decide in your mind to do nothing that displeases God, meaning what's bound in heaven, earth bound in heaven. You will know after presenting your position to God just what course to follow. Should I study economics? You'll know. Should I move to Cleveland? You'll know. Should I whatever? You'll know. If you will decide to do nothing. In other words, to bring your mind into harmony with the key. And so this morning, or afternoon, let's not put asunder what God hath put together by the truth, the key of knowledge. As a church, let's make sure that what we do on this earth is pleasing to God. What's bound on earth is bound in heaven. To determine that, we must study the key. And as individuals, it applies to us. A church is made up of individuals. Let's be sure that our individual lives are bound to heaven because we lead our lives on the basis of the key. The key is the knowledge of God's word. Error separates us from heaven. Truth binds us to heaven. I thank God that the church in heaven and the church on earth are one. And I thank him for providing the key to preserve that oneness. And my brothers and sisters, when we walk with Christ, our thoughts will be his thoughts. Our decisions will be his. Like Adam, every animal he named was exactly what God would have named it. Because God did not change one name. Because the mind of Adam and the mind of God were bound as one. How many of you will say with me, Father, help me to so live my life, instructed by the key of knowledge, that my life becomes one with the life of Jesus. Can I see your right hand? Stand up with me. What God hath joined together, nothing separates the soul from God like error. Not a mistake. Living, preaching, practicing error. One, take time to study God's word. Jesus said, my Father revealed this to you, Peter. The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. The God who reveals such deep truth to Peter is waiting to reveal truth that you need. Don't wait for the sermon. This is secondhand. I chew this and then, well, let me not proceed with the analogy. But you know what I mean. Study for yourselves. God will speak to you. And then try to apply what you learn. Will you change overnight? No. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It takes time to grow. But don't slow down the process by saying God is not finished with me yet. It's your fault he's not finished with you yet. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. You know, the Jews came to Jesus in John 10, verse 24. They said, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you. Meaning, I have told you plainly. But Father, the heart of a sinner is not for truth. And so the very plainest declarations of truth, even from the lips of Jesus, does not reach them. But today, dear God, our presence in this house testifies to the fact we have a love for truth, a desire for truth, dear God. We want to be connected with the church in heaven as an organization, as a body. But at the individual level, we want to be one with Christ. And through his humanity, that is possible. It's offered. God wants us to enjoy that union. Dear God, put into our hearts a love for the key of knowledge, a love for truth above convenience and above ease. Bless all your sons and daughters who listen to the word.
I include those listening by the internet. Dear God, let us make decisions about our lives that we will allow nothing to sever the connection between us and heaven. And help us, Lord, to make it our ambition that in every area of our lives, whether it's professional, romantic, financial, social, recreational, whatever it is, we may act upon the key of knowledge so that what is bound on earth may be bound in heaven. I offer this prayer from my heart, dear God. In Jesus' name and for his sake, let God's people say, amen.